It's great to see you this morning. It's wonderful to sing with you and to be here to worship Jesus this morning. My name is Adam. I'm one of the pastors here. If you're visiting today, we want to extend a warm welcome to you. We're thrilled that you're here to join us on this Christmas morning. I hope that you had a good morning so far. I hope you have a wonderful day planned ahead. But thank you for coming as we remember the gift of the season, the reason that we're here this morning. So I'd like to read now for us Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. This passage was written by the prophet Isaiah about 700 years before Jesus was born. And so we're here celebrating the fact that the prophecy, and many prophecies like it, have come true at the birth of Jesus. So Isaiah 11, 1 through 10. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fatted calf together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. This is God's word to us this morning. Let's pray together. Merry Christmas again. Today we're celebrating, as I said, this prophecy come true. This prophecy written 700 years before Christ. Many prophecies like it written even longer before Christ than that. We're celebrating that these have come true in the birth of Christ. And I want to focus us this morning on one idea, the idea of peace on earth. Peace on earth. We all long for peace on earth. Peace on earth, you see it in the signs and the emblems sort of the Christmas season. But we look around and we see that there's not peace on earth, that there's disunity on earth, violence on earth, pain, suffering, loneliness. So we're talking about this promise of Christmas, peace on earth, it's a hope that has come and been made certain by the birth of Jesus, and yet we see all around there is not peace on earth. So I want to talk about just how it is that peace has come to earth in Jesus, and then how we can participate in that. So we'll look at three things as we just walk through this text. So if you have the text open in the bulletin, that'll be a help to you as we go. There are also Bibles scattered throughout the rows, and if you don't have a Bible, that's our gift to you. Please take that. We'd love for you to have that. But we're going to look at three things in these 10 verses here. The King of Peace, and then the peace of the kingdom, and then the way into the kingdom. So the King of Peace, the peace of the kingdom, and then the way in. So first we're looking in verses 1 through 5 at this King of Peace. We see this prophetic description of Jesus. And the first thing that draws the eye is right there in verse 1, there shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, which means that this king is going to come, or was going to come, when it looked like hope had been lost. So if you're not an arborist, and I'm not an arborist, I had to learn this, but apparently dry stumps don't sprout new trees. And that's what it's saying here. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse. If you read the two verses just prior to this, it talks about how Israel is like a forest that's going to be burned down. It's going to be flattened. hope is going to be lost. But there shall come forth from the stump of Jesse a shoot. Now, who is Jesse? Who's that? Jesse was King David's dad. And King David, of course, was one of the greatest kings in Israel. He was a man after God's own heart. He was under David, the kingdom followed God's rule. The kingdom was united. So King David was one of the greatest kings to reign over Israel. And there was a promise made to King David that he would always have a son to rule on the throne. This is 1,000 years before Christ or longer. There was a promise made, but it looked like hope had been lost because by the time of Jesus' birth, it had been a long time since there was a king on the throne of Israel. It looked like the line of Jesse even had ended. They were under Roman occupation. Hope had been lost. But in the midst of hopelessness, God, in verse 1 there, promises hope. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse. When hope was lost, God hadn't forgotten his promise. The King of Peace would come in the line of Jesse and David. He was of royal lineage, even though he was born to a carpenter. It looked like the line had died out, but out of that barrenness came new life. And then in verse 2, Isaiah says that the Spirit of Yahweh, the Spirit of the Lord, will rest upon him. That Spirit is the Holy Spirit, and at Jesus' baptism, the Holy Spirit descended like a dove on Jesus. And it says here it's the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, of counsel and might, of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. So this king, the King of Peace, is going to have all wisdom and all understanding. Who wouldn't want a king with all wisdom and all understanding? All the knowledge of God. That's who this king is. And then verse 3, his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. And that fear of the Lord is just an Old Testament way of talking about obedience to the Lord. If you fear the Lord, you obey him. It's a reverential fear. If you have a reverential fear of your father, it means you obey your father because you're afraid of what might happen if not. And you know that he loves you, right? He sends you in the right direction. So his delight will be in the obedience of God. He'll delight to obey God, which Jesus did, even when it cost him his life. And he'll delight in those who obey and serve the Lord. And then it says he won't judge, in the rest of verse 3 and in verse 4, he won't judge between people based on what he sees, but based on their heart, based on righteousness and equity. This king sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. So this is a king who will be a judge who's just, who doesn't just go based on outward appearances, but he penetrates and sees to the heart of the matter. He won't be swayed by nice clothes, eloquent speech, clean appearance. He can't be bought with a bribe. This is a king of righteousness who's coming. He can't ever be corrupted. And he will judge the cause of the poor. It says, with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He'll judge with complete righteousness, which just means justice. He says the wicked will not stand. So don't we want a king who comes to judge with justice? Don't we want justice in the world? Peace, equity, an end to the oppressions of those who have power, but true righteousness at all levels. That's what kind of king this is. And then it says in verse 5 there that righteousness shall be the belt of his waist and faithfulness or truthfulness, the belt of his loins. In other words, where most kings wear lavish clothes to signal to you who they are, they signal their status and their authority with what they wear and the entourage that comes with them, what this king of peace comes with is simply righteousness. Isaiah tells us elsewhere that he had nothing in his appearance that we should look at him. He was a plain-looking guy. And he came not in fine clothes that we would look up to him based on his appearance. But he came in meekness and in even poverty. And the only thing that signals his kingship is his perfect and pure righteousness and justice. He's perfectly truthful. He's faithful. He doesn't ever disappoint. So that's the kind of king this king is. And then let's look at the peace of the kingdom. In verses 6 through 10, it describes what the kingdom will be like. And it says, if I can read verse 6 through 9 again, the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of Yahweh as the waters cover the sea. Now you might remember, you might know, that at creation, when God created the earth, everybody and every animal was a vegetarian. Now, I'm planning to have beef later today, and that's not wrong, obviously, I don't think, or I wouldn't be having beef later today and telling you about it anyway. So, you know, I'm not throwing shade on carnivores, right, or omnivores, but at creation, it wasn't that way. At creation, in Genesis 1:30, it said, to every beast of the earth and to every bird of the heavens and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, that's every animal, every person, I have given every green plant for food. That's how it was originally in creation. There were no predators and prey. Every animal, every person was a vegetarian. Now, don't let that rob your joy of heaven, okay? That's another story for later, but the point I'm making now is that it wasn't until Adam and Eve sinned and rebelled against God that predators and prey and carnivores and omnivores came into existence. It's not that lions didn't exist before then, or people didn't exist. It's that they didn't eat meat. They didn't kill for their food. Isaiah is saying that the peace of the kingdom then looks like creation restored, like everything put back to the way it ought to be, that the violence of nature itself will end. I don't remember which writer it was. Somebody here will know, but there was a writer who might have been Anne Lamott, who went out into nature to try to find perfect tranquility, perfect peace, to get away from human society, to see what nature was really like and to enjoy and kind of get back to roots. And she went out, if I'm right about the writer, it's a she went out into nature and observed and just was there for weeks. And she came back with this memoir and this tale of her time. And she just came back devastated because what she saw was horrible. It's just the merciless nature of frogs destroying insects or lizards eating dead things. Just the rough and tumble of nature, the violence of nature itself is going to be restored in the peace of the kingdom. You can't go out into nature and find heaven. You can see glimpses of it there for sure, but heaven is coming here later. When the peace of the kingdom comes, the violence of nature itself will end. And then looking at this metaphorically, this idea of the wolf dwelling with the lamb and all that, we can say that the peace of the kingdom will mean that dominating people, wolves, will no longer dominate. That those who control and manipulate will no longer have need of control and manipulation or have power to control and manipulate. There won't be domination or oppression. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb. And then on the flip side, there's an important implication that the lamb shall dwell with the wolf. No longer will people who pretend to be victims, who play the victim, or who pretend to be humble, have need of pretending to be humble. There won't be any false humility in this kingdom, but true peace. So the peace of the kingdom is going to bring an end to both domination and false humility, and in the place of that, there will only be safety. Now, not boredom, but safety. And you look at what it says about children there in verse 8. A child is somebody who has no protection. If you're a parent, you know that. They have no idea what's going on. They run into things. They crawl headfirst into stuff. They have no protection. But in the peace of the kingdom, those with no protection, even they will be safe. They'll play with cobras and be safe. Their hand will be over the adder's den. They won't be bitten. That's the kind of world that we're waiting for. That's peace on earth. That's what we're looking for. You can tell we're looking for it just by looking at our stories. If you look at our movies or the books that we write, there's all these stories of living happily ever after, a place of security. But we know, don't we, every romantic comedy ends happily ever after. But if you've ever been in a relationship for more than a month or two, that's not how it goes. It should. We know it should go like that. That's why we watch those movies. We love that idea. It should go happily ever after. That is not how it works. But we long for that. And the peace of the kingdom that Isaiah is describing, happily ever after, comes true. It will come true in this world because the king has come. Everyone that's in this kingdom will live happily ever after. And they'll never die. They'll live forever, happily, forever and ever after. There won't be any more, you see verse 9, hurting or destruction in all God's holy mountain. That's the kind of peace that this kingdom's talking about. And I'll point this out too. What child hasn't wished that he could talk to animals? I mean, have you watched a movie this year with talking animals or seen a video? Like, this is another story that we love to tell. If only we could communicate with animals, right? You think about that, maybe that's weird to you if you reflect on that very long. Why do we want to do that? Well, I'm going to say something even weirder right now. We want to do that because originally we could communicate with animals. I'm not saying they spoke English or whatever, but that there was a peace and a communication, like even today there is between people and dogs. I'm not sure about cats, even though I'm a cat owner. But you see, the child can play over the hole of a cobra. There's this peace. There's a communication. They'll be tame. Even though they'll still be wild in their essence, they won't be dangerous. That's the kind of peace that this kingdom is bringing. That's what's promised. Animals will be peaceful. Human beings won't dominate or play the victim. There won't be any need for that. And the weakest, least protected of anybody will be secure. That's the peace of this kingdom. Now, why is that? How does that come to be? Look at the end of verse 9. It says, for. Whenever it says for, that's answering a why question. Why is it? For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. So when the King of Peace comes to bring the peace of the kingdom, the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord. Every person will know God. Will know not just any God, but know the Lord, Yahweh. And that word knowledge doesn't just mean knowing in theory in the Old Testament. It doesn't mean knowing intellectually. That word for knowing someone is an intimate word. It's relationship. So what this is saying is that we all want Christmas to be a time of peace and harmony, but what it's saying is that the reason for division and distance and violence is that people don't know the Lord. They don't know the Lord for themselves. They don't know God personally. The earth is not full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The kingdom of peace is the kingdom of peace because all the earth knows the Lord and will know God personally. And so that leads us then to a question. Well, what's the way into the kingdom? What's the way into knowing the Lord? We've looked at the King of Peace, the peace of the kingdom. So last point, the way in. Knowing God personally is the way in. How do we do that? If you'll take a look at verse 10. In that day, the root of Jesse, remember that's Jesus, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples. In other words, he's a sign, he's a banner, he's a rallying point for the peoples. In that day, of him shall the nations inquire, shall the Gentiles seek, the people all over the world, and his resting place shall be glorious. So Christmas is the celebration of the arrival of the root of Jesse, that from this dry stump, when hope was lost, a king was born. When it looked like darkness, a light shone, came into the world. And that prince and king, Jesus Christ, he was born of a virgin. The holy God took on human flesh. And not just adult human flesh, but at conception, like an embryo. He came in human flesh at the weakest point. And then he was born, obviously, became an infant and was a child and went through adolescence and all that weird stuff and became an adult. And then he died. And so he has experienced all of human life. He came to take on all of our life so that he could give us all of his life. He knows exactly where you are, wherever you are, because he came here. And he came here so he could know us and so that we could know God. That is the miracle of the Holy Creator being born a baby, taking on all of human life from conception through birth and all the way to death so that he could give us all of his life. And the Spirit of the Lord rested upon him so that he could give the Spirit to us, so that God could come and live in us. He delighted in the fear of the Lord so that he could give us delight in obedience to the Lord, which is what we were made for, by the way. He judged not by what his eyes saw, but with righteousness, so that he could pierce through our facades and our masks. And righteousness was the belt of his waist so that he could give us his righteousness. So his kingdom, this kingdom of peace, has come because Jesus has come, and he shall reign forever and ever. And one day when he returns from heaven, then everything in verses 6 through 9 will fully come true. The earth will then be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. So that's why there's not yet peace on earth. Because in this time, the message of peace is going out to peoples all over the world that they might come into the kingdom before the kingdom comes here and is consummated. So we wait in this in-between time. So how can we get into that kingdom in this in-between time? We can get into that world because he came into this world. He came into this world in order to bring that world here. So like it says in Isaiah 10, literally, inquire of him. Seek him. The joy of Christmas is that he came here so that we have access to God. So literally, pray to Jesus and say, I need you. I want you. I know that you're king. Or pray to him and say, do you exist? Show me that you're real. Or I believe, help my unbelief. Seek him, it says in verse 10. Of him shall the nations inquire. There's another promise in the Old Testament that comes from the book of Jeremiah, and it says this. God says, I'll put my law within them, and I'll write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me. From the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I'll remember their sin no more. That's why Jesus came. That's how peace on earth comes, so that we know the Lord personally. That's how peace on earth happens. And it says that he'll forgive our iniquity. How is it that a just God can forgive sin? It's because Jesus was born to die on a cross for sinners. The righteous king died for unrighteous people to make unrighteous people righteous. He came to live the life we should have lived and die the death that we deserve to die because we have been sowing the opposite of peace on earth. So the King of Peace comes to die for restless people, people who are not peaceful, so that we could come into the kingdom. And that's why our passage says that he judges for the poor and the meek. He judges for the poor and the meek because to come into the kingdom, you've got to be poor. It doesn't mean you have to be financially poor necessarily, although Jesus says it's easier that way. But to come into this kingdom, you have to be poor. You have to admit that you need a Savior. We have to stop trying to do everything on our own. We have to admit our spiritual poverty and our sin. We've got to stop trying to pay our own way into the good life, into peace, into heaven. Say, how do I do that? How is it that I try to pay my own way into the good life? That's kind of abstract. Anytime that you feel like you can't pray to God because you've done something wrong, like he won't hear you, you're trying to come before God on your own efforts and your own skin and not on Jesus' efforts. Isn't that beautiful? So the king came here to give us access on his credit. And that means we have to become poor. We've got to die to ourselves, die to our pride. We've got to become lowly. We've got to become meek. Like Jesus stepped out of heaven to come here to get us, we've got to step down from ourselves to get Jesus, to come into this kingdom of peace. And you can just see, can't you, a whole world full of people like that, how that would be peaceful? If no one's living for themselves, but all living for God and his glory and because of what Jesus has done for them, peace on earth would reign. He became poor that we might become rich, but to become rich in him, we have to become poor. And that's the way to knowing God. And that's incredibly good news because that means that the way in is a gift, that you don't have to earn your way in. You don't have to be somebody to get in. He can give it to you. Jesus prayed at the end of his life. He said, he talks to his father. He says, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your son that the son may glorify you since you've given him authority all over all flesh. And then he says, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. So God gives eternal life. Eternal life is just another way of talking about this kingdom, of being in this kingdom. So do you want eternal life? Do you want to live peace on earth? Do you want to live in the kingdom of peace where happily ever after comes true, or you can talk to animals where it turns out you can live forever? Do you want to live in that kingdom? The way in is a gift. That's the good news of Christmas. It's come to us as a gift. It's a free gift to all who are poor in spirit. So receive the gift. It's the true gift to which every other gift that we're going to unwrap today points. It's not something that's available just to the best people or to the most humble people or to the richest people. It's not even something that's only available to the most religious people. It's a gift that's available to anybody. That's the good news of Christmas. Jesus really was born of a virgin. He really did die for sinners. He really was raised from the dead, and he really will come again. Receive him. There's one more thing I want to show you in verse 10. Our passage ends with a little phrase, and his resting place shall be glorious. And that resting place is with his people, the church. So peace on earth starts in the church. Peace on earth comes through the church. Peace on earth will be completed when Christ returns. When I say the church, I mean the people of God. So if you're in Christ, peace on earth begins through you. And if you would have peace on earth, come in to Christ. The King and the kingdom are God's gift to you. So receive him with joy and thanksgiving. And welcome peace on earth. Begin to live peace on earth in glad anticipation of the fact that peace is coming to earth. Let's pray.